أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد والثناء لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى آل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المكرمين المنتجبين لا سيما بقية الله في العالمين روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين اللهم كل وليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا. For the hastening and the return of our Imam, please recite the salawat. For the health and well-being of our Imam, recite the second one louder. Inshallah, we please the Imam of our time, and we please Imam al-Husayn, salamullah alayh, with the mourning and aza that inshallah will be performing over the course of this month. Recite the third salawat louder. Imam al-Husayn salamullah alayh, out of all of the imams that we have, is a special character. He has many differences, although there are similarities, obviously. But there are differences. One of the clear differences of Imam al-Husayn salamullah alayhi compared to the rest of the imams is right from the beginning of his creation, his existence on earth when he was born. For every child that is born, the parents and the grandparents are happy. They express their joy. Imam al-Husayn, however, is not the same. When he is born, there is a feeling of a joy, but right from the beginning, his birth is accompanied with tears. He's different. All of the imams became shaheed. It's not only Imam al-Husayn, salamullah alayh, right? Amir al-Mu'mineen, salamullah alayh, was striked in the masjid. Imam al-Mujtaba was poisoned. Imam al-Sajjad was poisoned. Imam al-Baqir was poisoned. All the way until the 11th imam, and alhamdulillah, Imam al-Hujjah ajjalallah ta'ala farajahu al-Sharif is still alive. All of the imams became shaheed. But the news of their shahada was not brought to the grandfather or the parents right at birth for people to cry. But for Imam al-Husayn salamullah alayh, that is different. The news is brought, according to hadith, the angel Jibra'il comes down to the Holy Prophet and tells him about the story of this child that is born. The Holy Prophet cries. According to some of the reports, the Holy Prophet tried to hide his weeping and his tears from his daughter Fatima al-Zahra salamullah. He didn't want her to know about this. Till one day she saw him weeping. Said, "Oh father, when a child is born, they don't cry for the child. Is there something wrong with my child? Is he ill? Is there something wrong?" The Holy Prophet says, "I didn't want to let you know, but the angel Jibra'il was sent down by the Lord to deliver this message and this news, that this grandchild of mine is going to be slaughtered by the hands of my ummah." From the beginning, the life of Imam al-Husayn salamullah alayhi begins in this world with tears. There's a lot of other aspects of Imam al-Husayn that are different, but I want to focus a little bit on this, which is, by the way, something that we are supposed to be doing in the course and over the course of this month. Tears. Crying for the Imam. Recite a salawat, please. I'll get to the imams inshallah, but let me give some examples of our great ulama. I don't know if you saw this on TV yourself. I was a child and I saw this on TV. One of the ulama, there's many great ulama, great scholars that we've had, and they've been great in multiple dimensions. But not all of them have been public figures. Some have. Some have been caught on film. One of those, one of the first ones maybe that I have seen, was Imam Khomeini, rahmatullah alayh. I don't know if how many of you have seen those clips. He had a pretty small Husayniyah. I visited the Husayniyah, maybe some of crowd here has also visited. It's a pretty small place. People used to gather. In Muharram, he used to have someone that from the early days used to recite the Masa'ib for Imam Khomeini. His name was Aghai Kosari. He did it in a very traditional way. Imam Khomeini would be sitting in the corner. This Aghai Kosari would be getting up and reciting his poetry in the Masa'ib. This Imam Khomeini that is known for his strength, being able to move not only a nation within the borders of Iran, but the entire globe. That's a fact. He affected the entire globe. In a way that the West portrays as being violent, the West knows how to give or make or create the impression that they want of an individual. I remember looking at this magazine on one of the anniversaries, I don't know if it was the revolution or the passing away of Imam Khomeini. They had a big picture of Imam Khomeini. But out of all the pictures, this one had a very angry face, and this was like the full page of the Time magazine was that. The Imam Khomeini that was known to speak very firmly and very strongly, very bravely, you see him in the corner, and Aghai Kosari is reciting the Masa'ib. You think he's a child. That's how he weeps. He had two cloths. He was very organized, by the way. He had one to wipe his nose and one for his tears. In the footage, the one in his tears is about that big. He would just cover his entire face with that. You can't see it. So you don't see the eyes when he's weeping. But what you do see is that this entire body is just shaking. It's not just, you know, being quiet in the corner and a few tears trickling down his cheeks. Okay. The emotions are so strong, the entire body is moving. He can't control himself. One of the other ulama who was classmates with Imam Khomeini, I don't know how many of you know him, was Ayatollah Bahauddini. Some of the ulama become well known in their fiqh, in their scholarship. Others become more well known in spirituality. Ayatollah Bahauddini was this type of a figure. He's got books. Some of you may have read them about what the character of this individual was. After the revolution, some people went up to him. The talk was about Imam Khomeini. He turned back and told them, "You think you know Imam Khomeini now? You know where we came to know he is a special character? During the Latmiyat in Arabic, or the Matam in Urdu we say, or in Farsi we say Sina Zani, of Imam al-Husayn, when he was young. This is where we got to know him. The time he used to spend on that." These are our ulama, brothers and sisters. Ayatollah Behjat, may Allah bless his soul, he passed away. And I'm sure all of you probably heard his name. One of the greatest spiritual characters of our time. Every week, this is the tradition and the culture of the ulama. It's not only limited to Muharram. They don't wait for the first Ashra to come or for Arba'een to come. Every single week, either Thursday nights or Friday mornings, every Friday morning Ayatollah Behjat would be sitting in his masjid, have someone come and give a short talk. Definitely somebody has got to recite Masa'ib of Imam Hussein. Recite Salawat. Tears and weeping, crying, beating the chest. This is very important, brothers and sisters. I want to make this a point. Let me recite or read to you a hadith. It's a very reliable hadith from Imam al-Ridha. Before reading this one, let me give another one to you. There's a famous hadith in the book of Shaykh Saduq called Al-Khisal. In that hadith book, the ahadith are categorized by numbers. Like the hadith says, seven traits of faith are such and such. There's a chapter on seven. There's a chapter on three. There's a chapter on one, and so on and so forth. There's a chapter on 400, and there's only one hadith there, but it's a pretty long hadith. It's called Hadithu Arba'mi'ah from Amirul Mu'mineen, salamullah. The noble Imam has given so many jewels in that hadith. It's amazing. One of the things that he says is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew about everyone and everything in the heavens and on the earth. And he chose us as the Ahlul Bayt. And he chose some people as our Shia. The Shia are chosen, brothers and sisters. Being Shia is not easy. It's not a simple task. It's not just a tag we carry around with us. It's not just a symbol, it's a reality that we have to live up to. There's a few things that the Imam says are the qualities of the Shia. One of them is this: يَفْرَحُونَ بِفَرَحِنَا وَيَحْزَنُونَ بِحُزْنِنَا. When we are happy and joyful, they are also joyful and happy. And when we are sad, they are sad. During the months of sadness, we have to feel this sorrow. If we don't, we got to start questioning. Are we one of these Shia or not? Does that feeling come in? The deep feeling of sorrow, huzn, is not just acting like you're sad, putting on black. Is that it? You feel the sorrow? There's signs to it. In this hadith, Imam al-Ridha, salamullah alayhi, says, recite a salawat. من تذكر مصابنا وبكى لما ارتكب منا كان معنا في درجتنا يوم القيامة. The person who remembers the griefs and cries. The discussion was about weeping and crying. This is very important. Cries for what happened to us, he or she is going to be at our level on the Day of Judgment. وَمَنْ ذَكَرَ بِمُصَابِنَا فَبَكَى وَأَبْكَى لَمْ تَبْكَ عَيْنُهُ يَوْمَ تَبْكَ الْعُيُونَ. Whoever remembers our grief, weeps and helps others cry. Their eyes are not going to be weeping on the day that everybody else's eyes are going to be weeping. The Day of Judgment is a very frightening day, God forbid, for the wrong people. Read the description of the Day of Judgment. It should scare the hell out of you and I. يَوْمَ تَرَى النَّاسِ سُكَارَى وَمَا هُمْ بِسُكَارَى وَلَكِنَّ عَذَابَ اللَّهِ أَلِيمٌ. If I get the right words right. You will see people acting as though they are drunk. You see plenty of that out here in the UK, in London. Okay? You know how drunk people act. They don't know what they're doing. There's no particular direction that they have. They're lost. You see people acting like that, but they're not. They're not drunk. Mothers leaving their children. The love of the mother for her child is beyond any other form of love and attachment and affection. But on that day, mothers are leaving their children. They just can care less about that child, that infant. That's how devastating it is. The Imam says, those who cry for Imam al-Hussein and the grief and the difficulties and hardship that the Ahlul Bayt faced, their eyes are not going to be tearful on that day. Brothers and sisters, you and I have got to develop this culture. In the Eastern culture, where our parents or grandparents came from, in many of those regions, The culture is already developed. You just say Imam al-Hussein and people start crying. You don't need to talk about anything. They just see that sign saying Ayn al-Fatimiyun, they start crying. The culture's already there. The poetry begins Bismillah ar-Rahman, people start crying. It's already developed. But out here it's not developed. Where's English poetry? I saw a beautiful hadith in a book called Kamilu Ziyarat. There's a few hadith there about poetry. How important it is. One of the imams, if I remember correctly, it's Imam As-Sajjad salamullah. He gets a poet and tells him, recite poetry for my father. He recites it, the imam cries. They used to bring these poets, pay them money to do poetry. They would set up a majlis. They created the culture. Bring in the women, make sure, this hadith says, make sure the women are there. They would set up a curtain, bring the women in, bring the poet in, recite your poetry. We're lacking that, brothers and sisters. We've got to develop this culture out here. And it's got to be real grief, as I said, when you see these ulama, when you see that already developed culture. I really don't see it. Alhamdulillah, the brother did Ziyarat Ashura. Did we really feel anything? The problem isn't the recitation. The problem isn't the recitation. There's something wrong here. The hadith of the Holy Prophet says, إِنَّ الْحُسَيْنِ مِصْبَاحُ الْهُدَى سَفِينَةُ النِّجَاةِ وَمِصْبَاحُ الْهُدَى. These sessions, brothers and sisters, are supposed to have that type of an effect on us. One of the very, very extremely important parts of that is this. You and I have to develop that. The Imam says, Baka wa abka. They cry, they help others cry. Recite a salawat, please. They're asking for the brothers, those who can, if they can move to the other side so there'd be more space for them. Recite another salawat, please. Have to develop this culture where in the English language, not in Farsi, Urdu, Arabic, or whatever other language, we're living in an English-speaking country. It has to be developed in this language. It has got to become part of this culture. And it's more difficult out here. The Western culture does not have as much emotions, and especially expressing emotions, as you have in the East. This is a fact. We got to fix this up. We got to tune it up, brothers and sisters. It's up to us. Islam has got something, a prescription for all dimensions of human beings. Emotions are one of them. We've got to make sure we use the emotions in the right place and the right time. Crying is important. People who don't cry, they're missing out. Crying is fun. crying for the right thing. It's very important. We've got to develop that, brothers and sisters. And remember, whoever partakes in establishing this culture, this is a sunnah, a tradition. It would become a tradition. Whoever establishes a good sunnah is going to be rewarded as long as that sunnah continues. This is serious, brothers and sisters. I think we should have lectures on this. What is going on? Why aren't we active in this field? Why don't we have proper poetry about Imam al-Hussein in the English language? I'm pretty familiar with what's out there, the poetry that's there, but it's not profound poetry. When you read and study the poetry in languages like Arabic, Urdu, or Farsi, it's very profound. But the poetry that I've seen, much of it, I'm not saying there isn't any, but much of it is, I mean, you can call it a poem. It rhymes, but doesn't have any profound understandings of the story of Karbala in it. And one of the reasons why that is because the poet is not very well informed of the story of Karbala. They haven't understood it. A poet has got to first understand and feel, then they can express. Poetry is one aspect. Latmiyat, the recitation itself, is another aspect. These are things that, my brothers and sisters, we have got to develop. And this is very serious. This is one aspect of the mourning of Imam al-Hussein. Remember, the hadith said, whoever cries and weeps for Imam al-Hussein, their eyes are not going to be tearful on the Day of Judgment. However, I know an example of people crying for Imam al-Hussein. Most definitely, they will be in hellfire. Not just any of weeping and crying is good enough to be accepted as tears for the sake of Imam al-Hussein. Not every tear is worthy. We've got to be careful for ourselves, brothers and sisters. Some of the stories that you read in history, if you wouldn't find it there, it would be just puzzling. If somebody just told you about the story, you know, it's definitely out the window. This can't be true. But when you read it in history books, you're shocked. Other than the Holy Prophet and the Ahlul Bayt who cried for Imam al-Hussein before even the event took place, some of the first people that cried for Imam al-Hussein, you know who they were? They were the Kufans. One of the enemy from the army reports this. Since I was walking around, there's 30,000 army, for God's sake, fighting less than 100 people. All right, so they have plenty of extra people out there. He's walking around. He says, I came close to a hill. Now the battle is going on. I came close to a hill around where the battle was taking place. What do I see? I see a few people, Kufans, that are on top of this hill. They're watching what's going on. They weren't with the enemy. They're watching what is going on. They are watching Habib go to the battlefield. They watch the tent and the camp of the Imam. People going to the battlefield. The companions going. The family of the Prophet, the Imam going, the Imam himself going. They see that. Obviously, they're not with the enemy, right? They hear, they like the imam. They watch it and they weep. They cry. If you and I would see the event, it's described to us, we're supposed to be crying. If you would actually see that, how would you feel? These people are seeing it and they're crying. They're definitely going to go to hellfire. This enemy says, I told them, may the curse of God be upon you. If you think the man needs help, why don't you go and help him? You're standing behind and just crying? Not every tear for Imam al-Hussein is going to be worthy of being considered that. Some of us, brothers and sisters, we may have that form of love. We cry and weep for Imam al-Hussein, set up programs, have black all over the place and dressed in black and all of that, know some of the latmiyat as well. Imam al-Hujjah comes. We're not there. That's not going to save us in and of itself. The tears for Imam al-Hussein salamullah alayhi are supposed to create a revolution inside. The hadith says, "Inna al-Hussein misbahul huda wa safinatun najat." These tears are supposed to change us internally. How can one cry for Imam al-Hussein? They go out, they look at non-mahram, they look at the billboards, or within the majlis, God forbid, or your mind starts to carry off, reminding yourself of something you've seen or heard, the ears that hear and listen to, the latmiyat, the poetry for Imam al-Hussein, listen to music, haram music. That's not supposed to happen. It's supposed to create an internal revolution, brothers and sisters. If that's not there, I gotta think twice about what I'm doing here. What is the effect of this? One other thing about mourning for Sayyidu Shuhada, which is very important, is keeping in mind the hadith of Imam al-Sadiq salamullah alayhi. Sometimes, in the name of wanting to do something that is right, we do some of the worst things. This happens over and over and over again. You got to make sure we know what we're doing. We're not ignorantly trying to follow the imams. I just remembered one of those examples. In the morning, you know, expressing sorrow to the Ahlul Bayt, expressing that we are your followers is great. I don't know if you've seen this on YouTube, but I have. This guy in the haram of Imam al-Ridha salamullah alayhi has got a dog leash around his neck and he's holding the chain towards the dharih. Okay. And acting like a dog. Trying to say what? Did the imams want dogs as followers? Or did they want human beings as followers? Dogs are automatically loyal. They have that loyalty in them. Whoever the owner is, they're going to be loyal to them. But human beings aren't like that. Imams want people with understanding. Know what you're doing. and do it the right way. Sometimes when we want to help, we end up harming because we don't realize what we're doing. We don't think about it. We don't understand. The hadith says, كُونُوا لَنَا زَيْنَا وَلَا تَكُونُوا عَلَيْنَا شَيْنَا. Act in a way that people are proud to say, this is a Shia. Not in a way that when they say, oh, these Shias, here we go again. And I think many of us, in some of the religious activities that we have, act in a way that we're actually not zayn. We don't make the Ahlul Bayt feel good about us. Say, this is a follower. Do something that when the people see you, they are attracted to you as a Shia. Not that they say, oh, these Shias again, here we go again. Recite a salawat. A last point about mourning and aza for Sayyid al-Shuhada. Sometimes we miss the whole point completely. Crying and mourning is extremely important. But what is the point of that? As I said, sometimes we miss the point completely. That crying is supposed to create, at the very least, an internal revolution where I change myself. Alright? But another thing that's very important that shouldn't be lost here is the movement itself didn't just change individuals by weeping. It changed, or it was to change, the society. This is a fact about Imam Hussein's movement. I don't know why. It's so clear right over there, right in the event that took place. But we miss it. The whole point becomes just setting up aza. Is that the point? Is that why Imam al-Hussein went and became shaheed? Just so that we cry? That's not the point. He tried to change the society and they didn't allow it, and he had to lose his life. And it's interesting that some of the first sessions of aza that were legitimate, that were set up by the Ahlul Bayt, were actually put up and set up for the same purpose. I don't want to get into this right now too much, but the whole point of having the women and children with the Imam was to carry them along, and they weep and mourn, and through that they continue the movement of Imam al-Hussein. The family of the Imam are taken to Kufa. After Kufa, they're dragged all the way to Sham. From Sham, and after they do what they do, they change the scene completely. They are returned to Medina. It's interesting how Imam al-Sajjad salamullah alayhi comes into Medina. He doesn't just walk into the city. What does he do? He sends one of his companions that was a poet. Tells him, go into the city. In your language of poetry, tell the people my father, Imam al-Hussein, was murdered. He goes in Masjid al-Nabi, he starts announcing with his poetry. People start crying and weeping and start moving out of the city to go and meet Imam al-Sajjad outside of the city. He sets up a session of aza. That's basically what he does. He gets people crying. They come. He's inside the tent when they arrive. He waits until everybody's arrived. Then he goes and one of his companions is holding a chair. He walks out of the tent. The people that are so sad about the news, as soon as they see him, they start crying loudly again. The imam sits on their chair. What does he do? He talks about what happened, about the tragedy. People cry. But that's not the point. That's not the main point. Recite the salawat, please. We said the second one. The Imam, I don't want to read the Arabic because of the shortage of time. The Imam tells the people, they treated us, they. Okay, now if you say they, all right, it doesn't carry any political weight with it. Why? Because they who created this crime are dead. In history, these people did such and such. But that's not the way it is when Imam al-Sajjad is doing it. They are in power. When he refers to they, he's talking about the same people who killed his father. He's continuing that movement. He's continuing the opposition. They treated us as though we are awladu turki wa Kabul, as though these areas were not Muslim yet. Okay, the Turkish region and Afghanistan, Kabul, they weren't Muslim yet at that time. It says, as though we were non-Muslims. This is the way they treated us. They oppressed us. He says, if my grandfather had, instead of saying, treat my progeny well, after I leave you, instead of that, if he would have said, mistreat us, I don't think they would have been able to act better than what they did. There wouldn't have been anything more that they could have done. This is sad. You cry. But it has another dimension to it as well. The sessions that we have to mourn Imam al-Hussein, salamullah alayh, have got to be beyond just weeping. Weeping is for the internal aspect of it. But we need to have the external aspect as well. Sallallahu alayka ya Aba Abdullah. Sallallahu alayhi. أهل بيت النبوة وموضع الرسالة ومختلف الملائكة May Allah's peace and blessings be upon you, O household of prophethood, O my beloved Imams, that the angels used to come back and forth to your home. And the angels would seek permission to enter your home. Sallallahu alayka ya Aba Abdullah.
أيها المظلوم صلى الله عليك يا أبا عبد الله أيها الشهيد بكربلاء May Allah's peace and blessings be upon you, my beloved Imam al-Hussein, my beloved oppressed Imam, the one that was slaughtered by the shores of the Euphrates, while his mouth was dry of thirst. Sallallahu alayhi. Brothers and sisters, tonight is the night of the 2nd of Muharram. The 2nd of Muharram. A very important part of this journey of the Imam happened. We know the Imam moved from Medina to Mecca. On the day of Arafah, the Imam left Mecca towards Kufa. But somewhere closer to Kufa, Hurr ibn al-Yazid came to the Imam, didn't allow the Imam to proceed towards Kufa. The Imam continued moving in a direction that was not Kufa or towards Medina. On the 2nd day of Muharram, a letter came in from the Mal'un Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad. The letter said to Har, my commander, from this point onwards, somewhere nearby, don't let Al-Hussein move too far away. Somewhere close by, where it's dry and there's no shelter, make the Imam stay there and don't allow him to move. The Imam was there when Hur received this. The Imam said, allow us to go to Nainawa. Allow us to go to other regions. Hur said, my command is for me not to allow you. And I have a spy, someone that's supposed to look over me. I can't allow you to go. So the Imam is forced to carry on in a direction that he does not wish. They arrive in the Bear Lands. He arrives there according to some reports. He asks, what is the name of this land? They give a couple of names. The Imam says, is there any other name for this land? They say, the name of this land is Karbala. The Imam is reported to have said, A'udhu billahi min al-karbi wal-bala. I seek refuge to Allah from calamities and sorrow. Companion set the tents up, get prepared for shahada. My sister Zainab, start preparing yourself for seeing my head over the spears, for seeing my children taken as captives. Sallallahu alayhi. Inshallah, one of these years we have the opportunity of being in the land of Karbala, being in the shrine of Imam al-Hussein. Don't you wish you were there now? Imagine yourself there. We want to do a short ziyarah. Imagine yourself walking inside the courtyard of Imam al-Hussein. Imagine yourself nearing to the dharih of the Imam. As-salamu alayka ya خلت بفنائك عليك مني سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار ولا جعله الله آخر العهد السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته. اللهم إنا نسألك وندعوك باسمك العظيم الأعظم الأعز الأجل الأكرم بالزهراء وأبيها وبعالها وبنيها والسر المستودع فيها بك يا الله 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 يا رحمن يا رحيم يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك وعلى محبة أوليائك والله. From the bottom of our hearts, we ask you, by the right of the Ahlul Bayt, hasten the return of our Imam. Hadith says, when you do a dua and everybody says Ameen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds to that. O Allah, we ask you, by the right of the Ahlul Bayt, that you hasten the return of our beloved Imam al-Hujjah. O Allah, we ask you by the right of the Ahlul Bayt. We want every single one of us to be a close companion of the Imam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to prolong the life of and give good health to all of our ulama, all of our maraja, and especially the leader. Wallah, we ask you, we've come here with a lot of sins. We know ourselves, we know what we've done. By the right of Imam al-Husayn, by the right of these tears that you value so much, that you forgive us all of our sins. Oh Allah, we ask you, we need your help to be able to stay away from these sins. I don't like to harm, I don't like to hurt the feelings of my Imam by committing sins. I want you to help me stay away from these sins. Oh Allah, we ask you, by the right of the Ahlul Bayt, to forgive our parents and all those who've taught us a word in Islam of their sins. Oh Allah, there's a lot of believers under oppression and hardship. We ask you, by the right of Imam al-Husayn, you relieve all of them from oppression and hardship. Oh Allah, there's a lot of people in general that are facing oppression, different forms of it, physical, intellectual, spiritual, all forms of oppression. We ask you to relieve all people of the oppression that they're facing. Bin Nabiyyi wa alihi rahimallahu man qara al-Fatiha ta'a ma'as-salawat. Allahumma